Yeah, so I jokingly say that Muscadines are good Southerners. Like a good Southerner, they don't like the cold. And they can, you know, thrive in this hot, humid climate. You don't find them outside the deep South, but they do thrive where other grapes won't grow. So they're good Southerners. They don't like it when it's cold, and so Muscadines only grow down here.
They're sweet, delicious, and come in a wide variety. Grapes are grown all over the world, but there's one grape that is most at home in Georgia, the one and only Muscadine. I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Georgia is home to many crops, peaches, peanuts, Vidalia onions. I could go on, and I have, that's kind of my job. But today, we're going to hone in on a crop that I haven't talked about much, muscadine. Muscadines have a long history in Georgia, going back about 400 years. And on this episode, we're heading to a vineyard in South Georgia with a long history of its own.
The farm is roughly around 2,000 acres that we're farming out here. We have 800 acres of muscadines between those couple of entities that we're growing collectively. So 800 acres of muscadines, a little over 100 acres of blackberries, and 5 to 10 acres of strawberries.
That's the voice of Chris Polk. He is the director of winery operations at Polk Vineyards in Ray, Georgia. That's Ray with a W. Now, where's that? About halfway between Osceola and Douglas. Still not helping? Okay. We're about 30 miles east of Tifton, the heart of farm country. Now, some people will call it the middle of nowhere, but those people don't realize that this is some of the most productive farmland in the entire United States.
Grandfather's name was Jacob Polk. Polk Vineyards has been growing muscadines for 50 years. This is actually our 50th harvest, and my late grandfather started growing muscadines in the early 70s. He planted the first ones in 1970, so his first harvest was 3 years later. And he pioneered the fresh muscadine business. So nobody at that point had sold muscadines as a table grape. He was the fourth generation on the farm, so we've been farming here forever. And his goal was to diversify the crops that we were growing here beyond, you know, traditional row crops. What he really wanted to do was grow something that's native to this area and that would work with Mother Nature. And so muscadines, of course, has become that crop for us.
Muscadines are a native fruit to Georgia. However, it took some convincing for others to see the magic of muscadines.
It probably took a little time for him to say, hey, here's a grape. We're mm-hmm. growing in Georgia. It's going to mm-hmm. taste a little different, but you might like it. What'd you hear he had to go through to kind of get this started and get the word out about what this fruit was?
Yeah, he had to get out there and convince people that this is a grape that you want to buy. This is something that, of course, to the decision makers at the store level, he had to convince them that it's something that they could sell to the consumers. And, of course, a lot of times it was just taking fruit to the store, to the produce stand and saying, you know, taste and see. Just try it, give it a shot, selling them on consignment sometimes. You know, here, y'all pay me if you sell them, you know, kind of things. There's a lot of risk in those early days.
After growing them for 50 years, muscadines are a central grape to Polk Vineyard and Georgia as a whole. But I have to know what separates muscadines from all the other varieties of grapes.
Yeah, so I jokingly say that muscadines are good Southerners. Like a good Southerner, they don't like the cold. And they can, you know, thrive in this hot, humid climate. And so muscadines are resistant to some diseases that other grapes are fatal to. You know, so there's a Pierce's disease, and it's prevalent amongst all other kinds of grapes. They have traditional California wine kind of grapes where you have strong Pierce's disease pressure. And so that's below a certain elevation with certain kind of climate conditions. Muscadines, they can thrive in that climate. And so, of course, muscadines they'll die if it gets too cold. Like I said, they're good Southerners, so you don't find them outside the deep South, but they do thrive where other grapes won't grow.
Muscadines not only taste delicious, but also have many health benefits. And it was Jacob Polk's own personal health journey that led to these health benefits being discovered.
So in the late 90s, my late grandfather, so Jacob, was experiencing some heart problems, so cardiovascular health challenges, and the doctor said that he's probably going to have bypass surgery. And he was a very self-disciplined man and determined man. And so when he put his mind to something, that's just the way it was going to be. So he said, no, I'm not going to have surgery. I'm going to find an alternative solution. And so he took no prescription medications, and he started taking dietary supplements. One of those included grapeseed extract. And then he thought, we grow grapes. I wonder how our muscadines compare to those other grapes. And so he started just one by one picking the seeds out, drying them as best he figured out how to, and sent those in to, say, the University of Georgia. Hey, can y'all check this out and tell me what's in there, as far as antioxidants? Well, sure enough, our muscadines have higher levels of antioxidants and polyphenols and the cardiovascular kind of benefits than other grapes. And so, in fact, they're healthier, have higher levels of those antioxidants than any other grape and many, many other berries. And so it's like a super grape and super berry God gave us right here in the South.
Falk Vineyards has taken the muscadine and transformed it into a variety of different products. Ranging from fresh fruit to wine to health supplements, muscadines are truly the super grape of the South.
Falk Vineyards has started as a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fruit, but picking it for people to mm-hmm. eat as a fruit. But it's evolved. There's now wine. There are supplements. Let's talk about what it started as and what it's becoming, Falk Vineyards.
Muscadines, we started off growing them as a table grape, to eat and sell to stores. But we found out that they're very healthy for you, and there are a lot of different products we can make. And we've supported those other industries as well the past few decades. If you see muscadine wine on the shelf, there's a chance that, we've worked with those guys. But we have since started making muscadine juices, jellies, so some of the traditional products you think of, but then most recently, muscadine wine. And so we have 20 different wines that we make from the muscadines and fruit we grow here on the farm. Now today we make muscadine extract, cold pressed seed oil, powders, juice concentrates that we sell to the dietary supplement, functional foods, and even cosmetics industries around the world.
On the day I visited Chris, it was time to harvest the muscadines. He gave me a rundown of how the harvesting process works.
You have the fresh fruit operation where we're picking for grocery stores. So this time of year, August and September, we're harvesting our muscadines, and we harvest a dozen different varieties. 10 of those are for fresh fruit consumption, for fresh consumption, and those go to grocery stores. We handpick those, and that, we pick a little. The varieties all come in at different times, and so we have a crew, and there's at the peak, there's a couple, 200 to 300 people out here picking, and they'll pick, pack in the field, and those go into coolers that immediately go to stores. This afternoon, we're picking fresh muscadines in this location. So everybody that you see out here, they're hand-picking muscadines going into cork clamshell containers to go to grocery stores. And so these are shipped to Florida, all over Georgia, up the East Coast, out in Texas. So these are all hand-picked, hand-packed, right here in the field. Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
We ship to Publix and Kroger and all the grocery chains and little independent grocery stores as well. My dad took a few boxes to our local Piggly Wiggly in Osceola last weekend. So
nice.
Everybody, we want everybody to get some muscadines.
It's a machine that picks the muscadines intended for wine.
Two of those varieties we harvest mechanically, and those muscadines never go to a grocery store or a produce market. Those are processed for wine and for juices and food products and the health supplement products. So we use a mechanical harvester that we drive it out into the field just like you would think about a combine, and it's over the row and it's tapping the grapes off that then fall, that are kind of like a conveyor over into some bins in the next row. 5 minutes later, that bin of that trailer of grapes is going into our winery for processing. And so we started off processing to add value to grapes that weren't being sold to grocery stores, but it sort of evolved into sort of almost two operations. You have the fresh fruit operation where we're picking for grocery stores, and then you have the mechanical harvesting for processing.
Now that the muscadines have been picked and transported, it's time to make that delicious muscadine wine.
So here we are at the winery, and the first thing that we do, of course, is unload the muscadines from the trailer that were coming from the field. We're harvesting into these bins, and these plastic bins hold roughly 2,000 pounds or 1 ton of muscadines. So we immediately, after unloading them, we immediately pour them into a hopper. So the hopper holds, will easily hold 3 tons, 3 of those bins.
After being loaded into the hopper, it's time to crush those muscadines.
So this is our crusher and destemmer. So we poured the muscadines out into the hopper, and now we're feeding them in to be crushed. And it's also kicking out little stick stems from the vine that came from the field so that it doesn't go into the press.
Once those muscadines are crushed and pressed, it's time to heat them up in a kettle.
We heat it up to around 130 degrees. And then pump it into our press, and you can see that deep, deep color juice coming out. So after we press the juice, of course the juice is hot because the grapes are heated up. So we take the juice and pump it through a chiller and cool it down. The pomace, of course the skins and seeds, the juice goes into the chiller and the tank. The pomace comes out the other end of the press, and we collect it to make muscadine extract.
Now there's something very interesting here. Every part of the muscadine is put to use during this process.
So every part of the grape?
We use it all. That's right. Yeah. So we take the skins and seeds, we'll dry them, we'll extract them to get the polyphenols out. We'll take the seeds and press them to do muscadine seed oil. We use it all. So all of the muscadine is utilized.
Now that the muscadines have been crushed and heated into a fine juice, it's time to start the fermentation process.
So in each of these tanks, we have 6,000 gallons of wine. So there's 6,000 gallons in this one. That's what we made yesterday, or last week, of white wine. And 6,000 gallons we made yesterday of red wine. The initial fermentation will take place over the course of about a month, and then it'll take another 4 to 6 months, depending on how fast we need to go, until it's ready to bottle.
After a long day at the winery, Chris takes me to the tasting room to sample some of these remarkable wines. I know, David is out there drinking again, but guys, it is my job to tell you the full story.
And people can come taste this wine and talk about some of the wines you have. I noticed the names are very true to your family.
Yeah, so we have 20 different muscadine labels, muscadine wines, and you know, I wanted to, when we created the whole idea of the wine, we thought, okay, how can we do the greatest good? How can we really inspire folks through what we're doing? And so 6 of those labels are named for family members. And so they lived a great life. We want to inspire people to do the same. And so Jacob and Juliet are our flagship wines, and those were my grandparents. And so he enjoyed creating new things, learning new things, spending time with friends and family. So we kind of tell those stories when people come in to do a wine tasting, and then part of that is on the label as well, and of course through our website.
Rolling, okay. So not just one wine here. You
That's
have
right.
A lot of options here.
That's right.
Let's start with the old family wines here.
Yes. So we produce 6 wines that we call are part of our family series. And so we have Jacob and Juliet here. These are our semi-sweet red and white muscadine wines. They're named because they're named after family members. Jacob was my late grandfather, Juliet, my late grandmother. And when people visit our tasting room, we like to share their stories, invite people into this story here at Paul Vineyards. But these are semi-sweet, really our flagship muscadine wines. So not too dry, not too sweet, but that classic, really wonderful muscadine flavor that you find in each of those wines. And then we have other labels that are named for locations around the farm. So Paul Cabin is our port style dessert wine, and that's our A-frame cabin he built 40 years ago. We've spent a lot of time and made memories down there. So it's a lot of fun sharing those stories, inviting people into this story of, you know, it's just a great, wholesome, genuine Southern, you know, in Georgia story.
This wine doesn't just have personal connections. It is also award-winning.
there's an organization here in the state who are called the Georgia Trustees, and they started this Georgia Trustees Wine and Now Spirits Challenge. So Paul Cabin was awarded Best Fortified Wine in the state a couple years ago. Jacob was awarded Best Red Muscadine Wine several years ago, and Lot, Best Red Muscadine Wine in the state as well a couple years ago. And Lot is our sweet red muscadine wine in the family series. But we've also submitted and won awards in competitions in Virginia and Texas and Florida and all around the country.
While muscadines are the main fruit in Chris's wine, for additional flavor, he will often infuse the wines with some other well-known Georgia fruit.
Well, let's move on. I see peach.
We're in Georgia. That's right, we're in Georgia. So Sweet Tree is the series here. And so we have now 10 different flavors, if you will, within that Sweet Tree series. And peach is one of those. Of course, we're here in Georgia, so people love things with peach. So these are muscadine wines with fruit infusion. And so peach, and then we have a red sangria as well. So various different options within the Sweet Tree family. And so like red sangria is a muscadine wine with strawberry, blueberry, blackberry, and a hint of watermelon added as well.
And a lot of these fruits are grown right here.
Yeah, exactly. Still southern, southern fruits. We don't grow mangoes, but we're bringing in other fruits to complement the muscadine wine as well. The other series, so we like to say we have the family, and there are six wines here. The Sweet Tree series, which we have 10 wines right now within that series, and then the farm. And so while we're celebrating the people around our whole operation in the vineyard, here with the farm, we're talking about and celebrating places around the farm. So County Line Road is our sweet blackberry wine. So we grow around 100 acres of blackberries, and most of those are sold to go to grocery stores to eat, but then we take some of those blackberries and use it to make our blackberry wine. So this is blackberry wine through and through. So there's no grape in this at all. This is, blackberry wine started here, grown here, estate bottled, if you will, blackberry wine. County Line Road is one of the roads you travel to visit us here at Paul Vineyard. So just naming it for that road.
Wine is not the only Georgia grown product in the tasting room.
And I also notice your tasting room and store, you have a lot of other local partners in there.
Yeah. So it is that genuine, that wonderful, local story. And so we team up with local folks. Some folks we actually work with in other ways. So like our honey that we sell, Stan's honey, he's over in Broxton, and we use his bees to pollinate our strawberries and blackberries. And so it's a lot of fun to also sell their honey in our store. Hudson Pecan, their local pecan grower, we love to team up with other people, friends, local folks who are making other great and growing other great products as well, so we can offer that and just share what's being made around here.
The tasting room is also home to many events celebrating the wines of South Georgia.
So we always welcome people to come out and visit us for wine tasting, but then also we host ticketed events throughout the year, and whether that's a murder mystery or, sip and paint kind of party. But then we host a couple of festivals each year as well. So Labor Day weekend, we host Georgia Muscadine Festival. And then the second weekend in March, we host South Georgia Wine Festival, where we invite all of our friends really south of Atlanta to come and pour and sell their own wines here, and just to celebrate all the good things that are being made down here in South Georgia.
As I've said many times throughout this episode, muscadines have a long history in Georgia. And with Chris and Polk Vineyards, muscadines will hopefully have an even sweeter future.
We want people to visit and visit again and bring your friends. And really, you can find wine other places. What we want you to experience here is just wonderful, genuine hospitality, Southern hospitality. And so when they come to visit, we're going to introduce you to our wines, and we realize what we're making is not what is traditionally thought of in the wine world, so we want you to find something that you like, and that's why we have such a variety. But we want you to leave, whether it was the event we were hosting, the hospitality, or the wine. We want you to go, you know, wow, that was wonderful and so much better than, you know, we first thought it might be.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the gpb.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.